evening and welcome to episode 400 and or 300 and something. I actually don't know what episode this one is, but whatever it is, I think it's 426 of the Jersnet podcast, and I'm your host tonight, John McCallum. I cannot count, as you can see. However, I've got two people with me who hopefully can. Now, before I get to that, a reminder that this is the Independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans, where the content is free. It's not just a podcast we have in Jersnet. We have a forum, we have articles with the social media, of course, and we have a lovely history archive. If you enjoy the podcast, we would encourage you to subscribe and share on social media or amongst your friends. Now, tonight, for the first time this season, I'll get to talk about a Rangers victory after our 2-1 injury time win at Livingston. We'll probably discuss our beleaguered manager, and we'll have a look ahead to a trip to Graz or Graz, which is Austria's second city, a place where Archduke Karl II had 20,000 Protestant books burnt. So we can expect a warm welcome there whenever we get there. Anyway, before all of that, I have to mention our sponsors, and they are Forest Precision Engineering, a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many, many years, and we're delighted they're backing our podcast again this year. You can find out more about them by visiting their website, forestprecisioneng.com. Or you can visit, if you're more interested, in the Forest Precision Engineering, their executive lounge. It's a stunning new hospitality area within the main stand. For information on that, how to find out about it, you contact the club directly via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, last week's show, both Brian and Ross claimed to be the lucky charms, because both of them had appeared on the pod following Rangers victories, which was not something I have done this season. But as neither of them are on tonight, it must be Stuart or Colin who are our lucky charms. Now, hopefully, someone will come and rub you later, and we'll get to find out which one of you two it is. Are you both well tonight, gentlemen?
Very well, John. Thank you.
Good, good. Colin, you've not answered, so I'm assuming you're well. You're always well.
I'm happier after that result, yeah. But and I'm well because it's a bank holiday tomorrow. So, yeah, as well as one could be, John.
Okay, well, it's a bank holiday for some of us, Colin, but thanks for bringing that up. Stuart, let's go straight to you, and let's have a chat about today's game. An unchanged back five. Diomande dropped out. Baron, Majovski and Antman coming back into the side. Was it a side you expected? Was that the team you thought would go out today?
I wasn't quite sure what team was going to go out today. And sometimes I don't think that Russell Martin actually knows what side's actually going to go out into the picture either. You know, there was an actual change there for Diomande. There's no point in putting somebody who has just been sent off and you know you're going to have to make changes for the next European game. So you might as well give somebody else a run there. I think he's basically trying out different guys in attack, looking for a goal from somewhere. But this was another day where the attackers let them down badly.
Colin, you like to tell us about your time attacking. Majovski should have scored in the first 10 minutes. And indeed, throughout the first half, we should have scored a few more than the one we did. But overall, I think we did pretty well in the first half. I thought we certainly, it was the most attacking I remember watching us this season, and certainly the most chances we created. What was different about our play in the first half today?
I mean, I just think we moved the ball a bit quicker. You know what I mean? I think it comes back to what Russell Martin's been talking about in the past in terms of why we've not been getting results, and it's just been too slow, too ponderous. Not enough bravery, you know what I mean? I felt through the week there at the Ghent game, I felt it had shades of the horseshoe about it, you know, when Gio was there, you know, it felt like at times, you know, it was at the left full-back, left centre-half, right centre-half, right full-back, he looks forward, nothing on, then it goes back to the other full-back, and I just don't think this Rangers team has been brave enough at times and sort of trying to break the lines and get the ball forward. I thought that change today, in the first half especially, I mean, the second half we'll come on and talk about, but I thought the second half was atrocious. But first half, yeah, it's probably the best we've played all season. But we moved the ball a lot quicker. We were looking to get the ball forward. seem to be a bit more confidence in our play. You know what I mean? Players looked a bit keen. I think Livingston helped in that. You know, I think if Livingston had turned up the day and maybe wanted to sit back a wee bit more and sit deep and do the low block and all that kind of stuff, we maybe wouldn't have seen that. But I think the way Livingston wanted to press us suited us. And I thought that's probably the best example of what Russell Martin's trying to do with a Rangers team we saw in that first half. I thought we played really, really well. I mean, obviously, he's got to score that chance, though. You know what I mean? He's clean through. I'm glad we signed him, but he's had a bit of a tricky start to his Rangers career. That's probably fair. But yeah, he's got to score that chance. You know, he doesn't even need to put height in it. You know, the goalkeeper kind of goes to the other side anyway. So I still think he'll score goals. I mean, we've seen what he's done in Aberdeen. You know, he scored a few goals there. He was unlucky in the second half of that header as well. I think the goals will come, but he's got to score those kind of chances. You know who'd have got an absolute doing on social media if he'd have missed that? Dessers. You know, Dessers would have got it stinking if he'd have missed that. So he's got to score those chances. You know what I mean? You can't miss those kind of chances. But first half overall, I was really, really impressed with Rangers today. I thought that's the best I've seen for them. It's just a shame they couldn't really follow up in the second half.
And do you think it was... I mean, do you think it was down to Rangers or do you think it was down to Livingston?
I think, if we're going to dish out stick to Russell Martin and the players, which we have been, you know what I mean, you've got to give them praise when they play well as well. I think how Livingston said their stall out suited us because they did press us and they were, you know, they were creating the space in behind, which allowed us to play through the lines. But you've also got to give our players credit because they carried out the instructions, which have not been carrying out previously. It's kind of to the letter. The biggest worry is that we didn't get more goals. You know, I thought Tav's goal was a really good finish. You know what I mean? A really good finish. Obviously, he misses the penalty. Miowski should score that chance. I thought, was it Conor Barron? He was really unlucky with an effort and goal as well. And if that went in, I think there'd been about 15 or 20 passes before that goal. That could have maybe been a contender for goal of the season because we'd kept the ball for quite a long time before that. But again, you know, going in at half-time 1-0 up, you're thinking, how are we only 1-0 up? You know, you've got to, as we've seen previously in the years gone past, if you dominate the ball, dominate possession, you're creating all the chances and you go in either level or only one goal up, then you're leaving yourself wide open for what subsequently happened in the second half. So that's the only concern for me, that we had so much chance and we only went in 1-0 up.
Stuart, as Colin said, Tavernier scored it was a lovely finish. A right back appearing in the centre of the centre of the goals, the centre of the box to bury it, which he's done throughout his career at Rangers. And it was nice to see him again. So it was a lovely goal he scored. He obviously then had a penalty saved. He was robbed of possession a couple of times in that game, one towards the end, which fortunately didn't come to anything, but could have been bad. What do you make of our captain just now? It's been a difficult start to the season for everybody. Tav was in and out the team at the start to get the blame, frankly, for our performance against Motherwell, but has been pretty much an ever-present ever since. Where are you with Tavernier just now?
I said a couple of weeks ago, I've never been a great fan of Tavernier. One thing I did say at the time was that he showed a tremendous amount of resilience. It was obvious that when Russell Martin came in, he didn't fancy Tavernier in the team, and Tavernier stuck with it and maybe proved a few people wrong, maybe even including myself. And now he looks as if he's one of the first picks that Russell Martin will make. It's a typical mixed bag from Tavernier. Scores a good goal, misses a penalty. In between times, he does good things and bad things in equal measures. All in all, I think he's actually one of the people who's actually showing that just a bit more passion and a bit more commitment than others around him. I don't think, however, he's the type of person to inspire too many people. I think he's still having to concentrate a lot on his own job. and get that right. And I think that others are round about them are getting through the motions. Just picking up what Colin said, the first half was better. It's still not what I would be looking for. It was better. I think it's still very pedestrian. But the first half, we'd have to say, compared to the second 45 minutes, they looked like world beaters in the first half compared to the second half. That was diabolical stuff.
It was poor. And you know, it's funny, I was remembering earlier in the season, start of the season, maybe one of the European games, or I can't remember exactly when, but we were playing for a half. I think it's one of the European games. We actually played quite well for a half, and then we didn't play quite well in the other half. I don't remember which was the first or the second. It had that kind of feel to it today. Staying with the first half, Colin, we've not spoken about this for a while. A couple of old duffers who get really exercised about this subject, VAR. We've not had a go at it for a while. We've kind of accepted it's there, but it intervened twice today. Once to give us a penalty and once to chalk off a goal, in inverted commas. What did you make of those calls? Were they correct?
I'm trying to think of the penalty. What was the penalty again?
Colin.
Aye.
It's Colin frozen.
Colin's frozen. I was thinking, geez, he really can't remember that. Stuart, what did you make of the pullback and Rask?
I thought... I'm slowly but surely giving up on some of these decisions. Handballs, pulls, pushes. It exasperates me what now is deemed to be foul play. And listen, if that was against you, you would be upset. Given it's for you, you accept it. And that is... that is the norm with penalty decisions.
So a soft penalty, you felt.
I did it at the time.
I mean, he's got his shirt. You can definitely see he has his shirt.
He has his shirt, but you would be blowing and booking people galore at every set piece and every corner coming into the box. And I think it's that level of inconsistency. If it's an open play, you get a foul or a free kick or a penalty. If it's in a set piece, nobody sees these things happening. Hence the reason why, you know, if you get it, you take it. If it goes against you, you would complain. You know, I think it came at the right... it came at a good time for Rangers, but unfortunately, it was an opportunity squandered. And I do wonder if that had been converted, whether Rangers would have gone on to a more comfortable victory, because, you know, Livingston set a stall out to frustrate and also to try and hit in the break, and that would have been taken away from him very early on in the game. And hence the reason I think you saw them coming back into the match later on. But, you know, the whole VAR thing, I had enough of it before it even became the norm. You're back as far as the 2018 World Cup final between France and Croatia, and the penalty that France got then, and that set the yardstick for everything that's gone since.
Colin was so hacked off at VAR today, he pulled the plug on his Wi-Fi there.
I wish that was the case. It's just my shite Wi-Fi, John, to be honest with
you.
My Wi-Fi is as good as the VAR. That's probably the best way of summing it up.
What about the Cornelius goal then, Colin? We'll come back to you on that one.
I mean, I'm not convinced it was handball, I've got to be honest with you. I wasn't convinced by that at all. I do think there's a chance he would have been offside anyway. But, I mean, to go back to the wider point about VAR... I mean, can any of us really say that it's improved our experience, especially if you're a match-going fan? My experience of VAR is just continual groans the minute it comes up on the screen that there's a VAR check. No one seems to get any joy out of it, and we don't seem to have much luck with it either. I mean, me and the guy that sits in front of me, Stuart, we've been sort of been tallying up how many VAR decisions go our way at Ibrox. I think we've had one all season. Every other one goes against us. So I don't enjoy it. I mean, as a match-going fan, I don't enjoy it. When I go to sort of West of Scotland and East of Scotland games and it's not there, I find that a far more enjoyable experience. You know, if a player scores and the flag hasn't gone up, the goal counts. You know, there's no the game isn't going to be re-refereed and all that kind of thing. I remember Ross suggesting this a long time ago on this podcast that he felt responsibility of it should be handed over to the players like it is at a tennis. So you're allowed to challenge decisions. And I think that's maybe the best way, because I think VAR's here to stay. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to go anywhere. We have to find a way of making it work. And I just don't think it's working at the moment. And I agreed with David Martindale the other week there. You know, he commented a couple of weeks back there that, you know, clubs are paying a fortune for this and they're not getting the decisions right. So there has to be a solution to it and finding a way of making it work, because it's not at the moment. And I don't think anyone, whether you're at home watching it on TV or whether you're at the game, gets anything out of that. I don't think it adds anything to the experience. I think it takes it away, to be honest with you.
Stuart, after that, after the pleasing first half, things returned to more familiar territory in the second half as Livingston came right back into the match. Why? What changed? What changed at halftime? Is it, did Livingston change? Did Rangers change? You know, why did we return to the form that's been depressing most of us this season? What's different?
Livingston changed because they're only a goal down, and they knew that, I think, if they pressed the right buttons, they might get something out of Rangers. Rangers seem to be, I know people say, well, you're holding on to a slender lead. They just seem unwilling to try anything different. And to that end, people say, well, maybe they were frightened to lose what looked like a win that was coming their way, or lose a slender advantage. I honestly think he just ran out of ideas again. You know, I watched the game directly after the Rangers match, which was Arsenal against Newcastle. Different world entirely, different quality of player. But you can see with Arsenal, the way they approached the second half, even though they were a goal down, they were going about it with a set structure and a set plan, and knowing where they were going to try and probe Newcastle's defence at certain areas. And you knew the players that were actually going to try these things. I'm not saying that, you know, I expected the same from Rangers, but you expect to see something or somebody actually trying different things, or, you know, at worst, trying to exploit the gaps and the weaknesses that maybe even you see on a television screen. And it's just not there. I would really like to know what Russell Martin and his sidekick are actually watching on that wee iPad when they're at, you know, sitting at a game there and they're having a bit of confab about this is happening and that's happening. What are they actually looking for? Are they just solely watching their own team, or are they looking at Livingston and saying, yeah, there is a gap there or an area there that we could exploit? If they do discuss that, there is absolutely no sign that they're actually trying to exploit it.
I think they were watching the Ryder Cup, to be fair, today. I think I wish they'd watched the Ryder Cup in the second half as well. Martin gambled, Colin, after we conceded. He brought on three attacking players, Bajami Moore and Jamai, you know, at least the attack-minded players. I'm not entirely sure where Bajami was playing. And of course, we scored. 94th minute, or whenever it was. We got a late goal from an unexpected source, I think it has to be said. So, you know, we did the game, we made the changes, we won the game. Does Martin deserve credit for that?
Colin's on mute, I think.
I don't know. Are you on mute, Colin?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think, you know, as I said earlier on, he's been getting the stick, the players have been getting the stick when things go wrong. I think he also has to take the praise, and the players have to take the praise when they get themselves out. I had to sort of laugh a wee bit at Chris Boyd today, because over the last couple of weeks when Rangers haven't been winning, his big mantra is it doesn't matter if you're playing well or not playing well, you have to find ways to win football matches. And then they found a way to win a football match today, and he's given it, it's still not good enough. I mean, for me, it's obvious there are some players in that team that are struggling confidence-wise, especially some of the new boys and the younger boys.
Who do you think struggling confidence-wise?
I think Antman and Gassama have looked...
You think Gassama's struggling for confidence?
Well, he's sort of coming out of it now, but I thought he started well and tailed off terribly. Antman as well. You know, he had a first couple of games. I thought he looked really good, and they've sort of tailed off. You know what I mean? So I just feel that Mikey Moore is another one that looks like he's really struggling for confidence. It's, you know, they have at Rangers, you have to find ways to win games, and they've done that today. You know, the goal we conceded is so poor. And that's something that Martin has to look at as well. I mean, defensively, we are all over the place. I thought Thursday night was a really, really bad example of that for him because, you know, he came out after the game and saying, you know, they weren't cutting us open. I was like, no, they weren't.
Oh, the gremlins are playing with us tonight.
Yes,
I thought Colin was going to make a very big, profound point there with that silence.
it was. He's still,
Well, we'll never hear it.
he's still, no, he's still thinking about it. Trust me, he's that look he's facing as if to say, if I make him wait long enough, it'll sound even better. I mean, I just came in there and what he was saying there, and you know the Chris Boy point, you have to take the win. You know, every time I'm asked for a prediction. All I ever say is 1-0. You take that, you take it, and you move on. You get 3 points, great. Are you happy with the performances that Rangers are putting in? No, you're not. But I think today was a bit like, I mean, you saw one or two people in the crowd almost determined not to celebrate or applaud Rangers getting what proved to be the winning goal. And I would liken it actually to. It's a bit like when you know you're going to get a birthday or a Christmas present from a female relation or a female
Are
friend
interested to where this is going, Stuart.
that you know that you'll get the present, and but in accepting the gift, you're going to get a big slobbery lipstick-induced kiss that you don't really want. And I think that was what it would be like today. Rangers fans wanted the win, but they don't necessarily want it on behalf of Russell Martin. They don't want him a bit like that kiss you get with your present. And I think that's ultimately what it felt like for a great many Rangers fans. They just don't. They're happy that you see their team win, but the downside of that is it keeps Russell Martin on the job, and I just don't think they want him.
Well, I mean, some don't, without a doubt, some don't. I think that's was we could hear that today, that some don't. And I suppose the thing is, I've been asking for pragmatism. You know, that was my main criticism of Martin early on, Stuart, was that a lack of pragmatism. You know, this, you know, keep doing the same thing. Even though it keeps failing, it was really driving me up the wall. And I much prefer a manager who has a look at the players he's got and makes the most of them until he can get different players. You know, and we weren't doing that, and that's what frustrated me. Today, there was an element of pragmatism. I felt that, you know, you know, the changes he made after we lost the goal, improved. You know, it was all us for the last 15 minutes or so. You know, and I don't think anyone could grudge us the victory. I think over the piece, despite the second half being poorer, a much poorer performance, and Livingston, you know, I don't think you could grudge them an equaliser when it came. I also don't think you could grudge us our winner. You know, I think over the piece we were the better team. So, you know, as difficult as it is, I think he does deserve some credit for making the changes. You know, for making attacking changes. Is one of the subs that scored, ironically, another right back. When was the last time Rangers won a game and both goals were scored by different right backs? There's one for the statisticians out there to go and look up. You know, I think he does deserve some credit for that. It's not enough. You know, it doesn't change things, Stuart, but it deserves some credit for it. And I suppose the question really is. You know, a win was a win, but is it papering over the cracks? I mean, that's two domestic wins in a row. You know, is it papering over the cracks, Stuart, or do you think, have you seen anything in the Hibs game and the Livingston game today that's maybe brought you a wee chink of light that made you think, aye, there's maybe improvement there? The team are starting you know, you're starting to see things.
Do you mean the same chink of light as you see when there are trains coming through a tunnel at you? Is that what you're trying to say, John? Listen, I have watched many thousands of football matches, and I still do not see how Rangers or how Russell Martin formulates his game plan. I really don't. And I think Rangers have won the last two matches despite Russell Martin rather than because of Russell Martin. I think he made the changes today out of desperation because he had to do something. Now, and that's that, you know, Rangers at that time are drawing one each. He has to do something, and it paid off for him. The fact is that Aaron scored the goal. He was the guy that brought Aarons to the club, then didn't fancy him. And again, he's been shifted from pillar to post and suddenly turns into his match winner or game winner. I think there are quite a few of them scrambling around trying to get their A game, if they have such a thing, and it isn't helped by others around them struggling in the same manner. I think defensively, especially in central defence, there is a distinct lack of, I was going to say confidence, I think there's a distinct lack of communication. Centre-halves play best, and the best pairings of centre-halves play when one knows when to go and one knows when to cover or hang back. And there doesn't seem that with Rangers. If you look at the goal that was scored, two of them were in front of the guy that actually scored.
Yeah, it was poor defending, wasn't it? It was poor defending to let the cross come in.
Yeah.
In first place. And then, you know, Suter's actually quite decent in the air, and he barely jumped.
Yeah, I see there that Collins may be having too many issues. Obviously, he's run out of alcohol. But anyway, we'll continue.
It's a bank holiday weekend for Collins. Yeah, somebody's realised that he's got an hour left in the pub.
He's maybe wanting an early start. But no, I mean, this goes back to the criticism that's been directed towards Russell Martin. For a guy who was a centre-back in his professional career, his organisational skills defensively are lacking, badly lacking. And, you know, and again, it's down to basics, fundamental basics that you should always be learning as a school kid. And why the players can't see that themselves is beyond me as well. Maybe it's the quality of player that Rangers are signed. But, you know, again, on another day, Livingston equalise, Rangers don't get a winner, and all of a sudden you're back to square one again. As it turns out, you have to take the win. You have to be pleased with our first victory of the season. You have to be pleased with 3 points, especially in a weekend that Celtic have dropped 2 points. But equally, you look at the table again, and there's Hearts storming away out in front just now. So it isn't just a case of just now Russell Martin saying, yeah, I still think we can win the league. No, for once, very early on, it seems like a two-horse race and Rangers are not involved. I know Aberdeen started well a couple of seasons back and then tailed off before Christmas, as I said that they would do. But this Hearts team seems to have a bit more about them. And, you know, and this season, for Rangers not to finish, you know, first, well, you can see that if Celtic are playing well, Celtic are not playing well, but Rangers still have a chance of actually, despite what the manager says, actually only finishing third or thereabouts. And that would be, you know, utterly scandalous, given how much money they've actually spent this season.
I mean, you know, the league is still winnable. I don't know a Rangers fan who thinks we're going to win it.
I'll cover your bet. I will cover your bet, seriously. Because
I'm not saying we're going to win the league. And what I'm saying is that, you know, at this moment in time, you know, there's 7 points between us and Celtic in second. You know, at this stage of the season, that's nothing. You know, that could be reeled back in. I just don't know anyone that expects us to do it. You know, the way we're playing just now, you have no confidence that we're going to do that. The chinks of light beating Hibs, coming from a setback and scoring an injury time, does that suggest to us improvement? Yes, it is improvement. It's improvement on the three draws that we had prior to that. It's improvement on the defeat at home to Hearts, but it's still a long way short of what I expected to see from Russell Martin's teams. You know, I had been told, and I had very little prior knowledge of what, you know, I mean, I was aware that he was the manager of Southampton and that Southampton were getting absolutely horsed last season. But, you know, I wasn't aware of what he was doing prior to that and you know, how he'd done the season before. But everybody had told me, everything I read suggested this, you know, it's an attacking style of play, loads of chances, loads of goals, terrible defending. Well, they got the terrible defending bit right. But I haven't seen the loads of chances, loads of goals until today. Today was the most chances I've seen us create this season. I also feel that that's because we were playing Livingston, and Livingston actually aren't all that good. And Livingston perhaps went into the game thinking, you know what, we could take something off this Rangers team. They're not all that good. And they nearly did. I don't feel we've turned the corner. I haven't seen any chinks of light. I'm delighted we got the victory. I'm delighted we scored late on. I thought we deserved the victory for once as well. And I am really pleased we started creating chances. We'll need to see a bit more, though. I would need to be convinced.
I think it's telling, though, that the two goals today both come, as you say, from right backs or people filling in at right back. And yet another game has passed by the strikers that have been brought in to score the goals at the club, regardless if they're centre-forwards or strikers or wide players who have a tendency to score goals. There is a dearth of goals coming up front, and we defend as badly as Rangers defend. You need somebody to be scoring goals, not just relying on defenders.
Well, for the first time, they've had chances. You know, I mean, people have, you know, people ask me, you know, did I think, you know, the big boy up front was a dud? And I said, well, I don't know, because he hasn't been given a chance yet. We haven't got the ball to him to know yet. You know, you've got to create chances for him, and let's see if he can stick them away. Let's see what he's like when we're playing half decent football. It's difficult to make a judgment on anybody just now. Mayofsky's come in with a reputation. We all know he scored goals against that for Aberdeen. So, you know, we know he can score goals. He should have scored at least one today. He was unlucky with a header in the second half. It was a nice header. Their goalie had a pretty decent game today. You know, he was unlucky with that. So, you know, I think we all feel Mayofsky will score goals. We don't know about the other two. We're pretty certain Danilo won't. I mean, he looks to be, you know, out of the picture. I don't think Martin, I don't think fancies him too much. He looks about the picture, but don't be surprised if he comes back into it, because, you know, injuries are going to start coming through, and we saw that today. Cornelius went off, and the left back went off as well, and we don't have any other left backs. Our store of centre halves isn't wonderful either, which is a concern. You know, when two of your defenders go off, you know, before the match is finished, that is a concern. That, you know, I think the left back took a knock. I think he'll be okay. That just looked like a kick. You know, he'll have a sore ankle for a few days, but you would expect him to make a fairly quick recovery from that. I don't know what's wrong with Cornelius. I didn't see what happened there. Did you?
No, but I think immediately you look at it and you think, who else is there? Who's your backup? I mean, I know there was a bit of a clearing of the decks this summer, and there's a hell of a lot of players have been, you know, shifted out. But you then come to this season and you look at who the cover is, and you suddenly realise that you've moved so many players on that you don't really have much to cover in certain areas.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's the penalty of employing people who did nothing, and then you have to make money up or save money on the wage bill. And in doing so, you actually weaken your hand. Listen, it is what it is. Every club suffers from injuries. Every team has to make changes and amendments to their starting 11 week on week. I still think that Rangers are probably looking for theirs, and it doesn't help when in a game that you actually thought you were going to get a bit of a performance out of, you suddenly reverted back to type or back to sort and end up scrambling a victory that should have been a hell of a lot easier.
So last question on, or last point on the manager. You're in charge of Rangers.
No.
Do you stick with him or do you let him go at this point?
No.
He's gone.
There's nothing. I have seen absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, that convinces me that this guy is actually going to turn any corners or be a bright young thing going forward. His record, he should never get a job in the first place. We can't do anything about that now that he's got it. He has, you know, people have been promising he plays this type of a football and that type of football. He's brought in more of his own players than most managers have been able to do in the last couple of...
Certainly more than our last manager was allowed to do, yeah.
Correct. And he hasn't been able to get any sort of tune out of him. Any sort of tune. And there are guys there that actually think can play. Why is it that these guys, you go and look at a video of these guys, they actually look quite good? Maybe he was impressed as much with the DVD that he saw as we've been. Yet they come to Ibrox and they don't look as if they can kick their own backside. I mean, you know, the whole thing about speed and direction, first half was marginally better. But you, me, Colin, if he's speaking to us or listening to us or actually is in the pub, the fact of the matter is we've all grown up watching Rangers sides who are very, very direct. They've always played with a winger or two wingers. And you could I could list 20 wingers that I've seen that's better than anybody that's currently at Rangers. And that not even thinking about it. Now, the best way to go forward, and most if you look again, I go back to the Arsenal game, how did they go forward? They put the ball out to their wide players. Okay, the difference between what Arsenal have got, Rangers have got, you know, light years of a difference. But that was the direction. That was the direction of travel. That's where the pace came. That's where the speed came. And the ball was coming into the box. You either get a touch on it or a flick on or lay off to somebody else and an opportunity was created. Rangers don't do that. They simply do not do that.
No.
And as a result, if I can see that, and perhaps you can see it and agree with me, and you know they're going to come inside, that's how simple it is to curtail Rangers. They don't have anything once they come inside. They create their own bottleneck and all of a sudden, yeah, the possession starts are fantastic. Yeah, but you've only scored a goal or two goals.
So why do you think he's still at the club? Because, you know, I agree entirely with you. And I've not heard many, I think I've heard one on the podcast dissenting voice on that still thinks, you know what, you've got to give him more time than he's been given. I mean, I haven't met anyone who supports Rangers who thinks that. And I know a few who've been on a journey, you know, who were quite annoyed at some of the stick he was getting at the very start and felt it was pretty harsh, but have realised that, you know, the performances and the results have just not been good enough and just not suggested that there's anything there. You know, I found myself through the week there saying to somebody, do we just not want to pay him off? Are they in a situation just now where they're just thinking, you know what, let's just hope he could become so miserable with his signs we don't have to pay him off? Are we at that stage just now? Is that what's going on?
It crossed my mind as well, actually. That exact thought. First of all, can they afford to pay him off? And if they can't, and they basically just look making it look as if, oh, we have faith until he gets so cheesed off that he actually just goes. Listen, and
nothing else makes any sense to me.
the truth is out there somewhere, whatever they're trying to do. The fact is, the majority of Rangers fans were shocked and dismayed even when he got the job. And that's a very, very low starting point.
It is. But I would counter that and say that those same fans, whilst not exactly cock-a-hoop, were more than willing to have their minds changed. More than willing to see, you know, had he started the season, you know, with the poor performances in Europe but good performances in the league, had he started the season with flowing attacking football, poor defensively, I think the fans would have given him the chance. They would have given him the benefit of the doubt. You know, there's always dissenting voices. But the simple truth is we've been really, really poor since day one. You know, there's been no new manager bounce. And I'm, you know, in modern football, I am amazed that we have stuck with them, particularly with the way the fans are. I mean, the fans are so vocal now. So some of the fans are so vocal about it. It can't be easy. It can't be easy to hear.
But on that point, though, John, whether you want them in the job to start with or not, the fact is, since the start of the season, I have not been impressed with him as an individual or a manager, because he has treated people almost like fools. He is not going to convince Rangers fans that he's the next great thing, when the Rangers fans that are sitting there have probably watched 2,000 more games of Rangers playing than he has. They know what they want. They know the history of the club. They know what the club is capable of or should be capable of. And for him to come out with lame excuses time and time again, it's not buying him any credit. He's not getting any credit at the bank by saying, Nelson, we weren't good enough. I'll make changes. It should be better. And and he's picked fights with people that were there, if you like, with Raskin, who's one of the fans' favourites. You know, if there's a way to try and get yourself out of the door as soon as possible, that's one of the things that you do. And you know, managers tend to win these fights. Yes, they do. But it can also backfire them, you know, hugely. If you think back to what Souness tried to do to McCoist and drop McCoist and leave him on the bench, and lo and behold, McCoist came off the bench and scored the goals that kept Souness now and a job, and probably saw him onto Liverpool. You know, sometimes these things backfire. I just don't think he's up to it. I think the magnitude of the job has taken him by surprise. And the team, I think there's a number of players that are looking at him and looking for inspiration, and it just isn't coming. And I think the players are shocked and stunned by that. In fact, I know the players are stunned and shocked by that. I have spoken to one of them and said, I thought there'd be more out of him, and there isn't. And it's fine pontificating, and it's fine saying, this is the way I've always done it. If you were up Mark Hitzfeld or, you know, Pep Guardiola or Sir Alex Ferguson, yes, you might have that case or you might have that argument. Yeah. You have got nothing in the bank with what you did at Southampton.
But you got Southampton to third in the league or whatever, then that doesn't count. No. Look, okay, leaving this weekend and looking ahead, Sturm Graz on Thursday night away. They're currently sitting second in the Austrian Bundesliga. They lost last week to Midtjylland. I know I should know how to pronounce this, but I don't.
Midtjylland,
who we played and beat not that long ago. And they were hammered by Bobo Glimt, Norwegian side, in the Champions League, I guess it would have been qualifiers. They hammered them 5-0, I think, or 5-1. And that was only a few weeks ago. So in recent seasons, we would have seen this as a winnable tie. We would have looked at this as a winnable tie. Austrian football's not a great standard. You know, they'd certainly be on a par with Scottish football. We would have seen this as a winning tie. Are you viewing it as a winnable tie, Stuart, or are you absolutely terrified we're going to get a hammering?
I couldn't tell you. You know, the simple reason is the Genk were supposed to be there for the taking. And
frankly, they were.
Yes.
You know, Genk were nothing special.
Yeah, but if you look at what's now logged, it's 3 points to them and nil pas to Rangers. If you look, let me try and induce a bit of positivity here. If you look at the next six games that Rangers have against Sturm Graz, Falkirk, Dundee United, is it Brann? Then it's
Kilmarnock. I'll tell you who we've got because I haven't.
Kilmarnock, then Hibs. Those are six games that could turn Rangers' season.
Graz, Falkirk, Dundee United at home. Falkirk away, Dundee United at home, away to Brann, and then home to Kilmarnock.
Yeah. I mean, those six games, if you look at them, and I know, you know, the old cliche, if you look at the paper, and football isn't played in paper, but there's a possibility of those six matches that if you knuckle down and produce results consistently through those six games, those could completely turn your season. It could maybe even turn Russell Martin into the kind of manager. Listen, you might say we'll give him a chance. I still think he's bouncing about the trap door because one bad result in that run of six or two back to back, and he's in real trouble. He's in real trouble, or he should be in real trouble from the boardroom down, but it'll be in real trouble from the fans because they just won't put up with this. Today, again, they get 3 points and fans are still discontent. So, you know, he's just lurching from catastrophe or possible catastrophe to the next possible catastrophe. He needs results. He needs his players to play for him. Do I think he's the type of manager to get that out of his team? No, I don't. I really don't, because I don't see him inspiring anybody to give it, you know, give Rangers those victories.
It's a turning point in modern Rangers history. Let's call it that. For me, under Gerrard, when Gerrard came in, was the Rapid Vienna game, where we had that victory at home. Morelos and Candias teamed up for a memorable goal, and it was one of these games. Having, you know, we'd been beaten by the guy at the time with the hedge, the team from Luxembourg or something had beaten us. You know, we were absolutely at a low ebb, and Gerrard came in, and that was the game that made me think we're back. This is now we are back to where we're meant to be. This is us beating a known European team. We've gone toe-to-toe with them and we've beaten them, and look how we're playing, look at the players we've got. And it was that kind of game. And I am wondering whether Thursday night's game away to Austrian opposition is the kind of end of that period. I was not surprised, but very disappointed on Thursday night. Their performance was so poor. I really hoped after the Hibs game, I thought, I wonder if there's a change. And I wonder if that was the bit of luck we needed, their goal getting chopped off, VAR doing its job, that Colin's mate probably clocked that one up. So yeah, that went our way, Colin. We'll put that one in the credit ledger. You know, VAR did its job. We got that goal off. We went on and won the game. And I did wonder, and we went into Thursday's game, and we were poor, and we can blame, you know, you can blame Diamandi getting sent off, but we were poor before that. And frankly, Gratch could have scored more than they did. They had some really good chances. Butland played a good game. You know, they had some really good chances. Saved a penalty, and they had some really good chances. And now going to Gratz, to Sturm Gratz, going out to Austria, I do wonder if this has gone full circle. From the beating of Rapid Vienna to going to Sturm Graz, a team that I feel that Rangers, even last season, we'd have gone there with some confidence of getting a result. Mm-hmm. You know, that wouldn't have been misplaced. You know, going to the team second in the Austrian League in the Europa League, I think we would have gone there and thought, yeah, you know what, we've got a chance in this game. You know, if we take our chances, we'll win this game, or at least get a point. I'm going into that game thinking, if they have got a centre-forward, and I don't know a lot about Sturm Graz, but if they have got a centre-forward who understands how to put the ball in the net, they'll put three or four past us because we will give them chances.
Yeah, it's amazing, John, how all hope in life seems to be sucked out of Rangers in the past, you know.
He's done it really quickly. It's amazing. He's managed to do that since June.
It really has been. I mean, Barry Ferguson came in and he's crew of coaches, and at the time I said he's been employed to add a bit of Rangersness to proceedings, to tell people what it's like to play for Rangers, to tell people what it means to play for Rangers, to show them what it takes to be a Rangers player. And up to a point I think he did that, but tactically Barry Ferguson looks like, you know, a five-star A coach out of UEFA's latest academy compared to this guy. I watch his team and I have no idea where the direction's coming from or how they're trying to play the game. It just seems to be pass after pass for the sake of making passes. And at some point in time, somebody's going to point a finger and say, listen, you know, look at how many passes you've made. how many chances you've made. Yeah, today was a bit better, but there'll be other days where they'd make as many passes and don't create anything. And I really think that there's a fear. Somebody once said, there is no such thing as bravery, it's only degrees of fear. Therefore, if you're not frightened, you look really, really brave. That's how medals are won. There ain't going to be many medals won by this Rangers team because they just don't show enough bravery, especially when you really do have to. And that includes beating teams you should be beating comfortably.
Yeah. European football has been an escape in recent seasons. You know, it's been the place where I think we've shown our best football. I think it's certainly brought me the most joy. And it's been since that Rapid Vienna game, but even probably more in the last 2-3 seasons, where domestically we've let ourselves down. You know, what we've been able to do is continually do well at European level, and that's been great to watch. Some of the most memorable nights of the last 10 years have been Thursday nights at Ibrox or Thursday nights away. This season with this team, is it a distraction? Could we do without it this season? Is it 2 games a week actually a problem for us just now, do you think?
I actually think you might actually be right there. It's almost like you have a disappointment at the weekend, and then you go into the next game knowing you're going to have a disappointment again midweek. It's not quite going to be the same. Whereas in previous seasons, I agree with you, it's almost been an uplift. Okay, Rangers haven't won any cups, but the fans have been delighted with the runs that they've gone, the runs of success they've gone, how far they've gone in Europe, progressing through group stages, beating very good teams as well along the way. And whether it's in one match or whether it's over 2 legs or whatever it might be. And I struggle to see where that sort of performance, other than the first half against Pilsen, the three nothing up. I mean, if you took that and said that's how Rangers are going to play for the rest of the season, I don't know any fan or any supporter or any journalist who would not have said that's worth watching for the rest of the year. That was exciting football. That was good football. You know, that is worth actually going to Rangers and watching that team. That was 45 minutes. I would say that's all you've had to, hang your hat on, is that 45 minutes. Yes, that's how you showed people how you could play, but you've never showed it since. So why is that?
Yeah.
And surely that isn't the manager coaching that sort of positivity out of his team. Surely he should have been enhancing that. So why can't the manager enhance that further and say, yeah, do it domestically as well?
No, I can't. I can't answer the question. And it has occurred to me that the fragility of the team just now, with whatever it is that Martin's trying to teach them to do, 2 games a week, doesn't suit them just now. And actually, European football isn't to our benefit this season, which is a real shame, because, as I said, it's been the highlight of football for most of us for the last few seasons. And the draw we've got, it's a kind draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind draw. I mean, this last season even, and a lot of folk were very unhappy with things last season. Last season, I would have expected Rangers to get through with that draw. I would have looked at that draw and said, Gratz away, that's fine. Bran away, perfect. And then Roma and Porto, their games, you go into that, you're not going to in favourite, but you're in thinking, right, if we can get points in those other games, you never know.
Can I just but it's come back in. The sending off of Diamandé the other night there, totally justified. And I've seen other sendings off at Ibrox that have been justified. But immediately something like that happened previously, the fans suddenly turned up the amps to 11 and went absolutely crackerjack. They went for it. And you got all the songs that they're not supposed to sing all coming out.
Yeah, defiance comes out. You feel hard done to.
There was none of that the other night.
No.
There was none of that. It was almost like, woe is us. Look what's happened again. This isn't going to get any better. why even raise our voices to inspire this team when you don't look as if they're going to be inspired? And that is the first time I've ever witnessed that from a Rangers or the Rangers support watching their team. It was almost as if this ain't going to happen for us tonight. We might as well just get on the subway and go home.
Yeah, I mean, like you, I remember. I mean, my formative years going to Ibrox started under John Gregg. And even then there were good games. There were some good games.
Oh yeah, I mean beating Juventus.
Yeah, exactly. There were some good games, but you know that was a team in transition. That was a winning team, a great winning team that had got old and wasn't being replaced, and you know the reasons for that. But you know, and eventually the crowd turned on Gregg. But I don't remember them being the way they are just now. And no. What eventually did for Gregg was apathy. Was the crowds falling away?
Yeah. It was.
And then, you know, John Wallace returned and again, he galvanised the place, you know, and initially, you know, we did okay. You know, we did well under Wallace initially.
Do you remember the game against Bohemians when Rangers lost 3-2?
Yeah.
And they needed a goal to get through and they played, I think it was an 84th minute or something like that. The atmosphere that night, probably looking into the Broomloan stand.
There's like one guy sitting there.
22 Bohemian fans, because they closed the entire stand and left it only to Bohemian fans. There were only 22 turned up. And to be honest, I think there was like maybe a dozen Celtic fans in amongst them, right?
Yeah, probably. Aye.
But the atmosphere in that game was immense. Hmm. It was absolutely incredible. Now, the atmosphere has been great through European games, but I just thought, in the word you used, there was an apathy amongst the Rangers fans.
I don't remember this before. No. I even under McCoist, when things were going badly and we were still, you know, we weren't going to get promoted. It didn't look like we were going to get promoted, you know, out of the Championship into the top division. And there was all going on behind the scenes with the takeover and there was annoyance over McCoist's salary. Even then, I don't remember the fans as hacked off as they are just now. I don't remember it ever being like this. And that's some going.
Not this early on, I don't. I slightly remember under John Gregg, because I remember Rangers were actually doing well in the League Cup, but in the league, they were atrocious.
Yeah.
And Jock Wallace came in and actually won the League Cup that season.
Yeah.
Based on what John Gregg had done previously in the Cup competition. Yeah. But there was something at the end of it, something tangible. Actually, back then, if you won the League Cup, you actually get into Europe.
Yeah.
Now you only take it serious if you get to the final. But I can't remember, and I agree with you, I can't remember this early on in the season there being so much apathy towards Rangers and so much disquiet and discontent as well. It was almost as if the fans have suddenly realised, oh, you got a season ticket money out of us and then you sprung the surprise with Russell Martin and they don't take kindly to that.
No, and you know, I'm not going to go over it tonight, but I was, there weren't too many of us. There were some of us, but there weren't too many of us who raised concerns over our owners. And I just what they wanted with Rangers and why. You know, time will tell. Let's just wait and see. Look, Stuart, appreciate your effort tonight.
Thanks, Colin.
Colin pulled a hamstring halfway through and couldn't make it. And, you know, we've had to battle on with 10 men, but we did okay in the end. We lost half the viewers, but, you know, we battled on. So appreciate that and appreciate giving up. Have you got a bank holiday weekend? Is every weekend a bank holiday weekend?
Some people would say so, but I would say otherwise. And by the way, just before I go, it's my son's 21st tomorrow.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, and born on the same day as AC Milan beat Celtic 3-1, I think with a Champions League match, on the same day as somebody celebrated his birthday with 2 goals. So I would just like to say a very happy birthday tomorrow to Callum John Regan Andrei Shevchenko Weir.
Very good, Stuart, and I wish him happy birthday as well. I hope he's doing something nice. So listen, everybody who's hung around tonight, I appreciate you doing that. You can catch up with this podcast on a variety of different platforms: Acast, iTunes, YouTube, Castbox, Stitcher, and Spotify. We are planning a podcast on Friday night, and Craig and Brian should be presenting it, and they'll be reviewing our trip to Graz and our preview of our trip to Falkirk, where Colin assured me earlier they no one burns Protestant books there. Just they keep that for Graz. Lastly, man, just thank everybody for giving up their Sunday night or your Monday morning or whatever it is you're actually catching up with this. Tune in to Frankie on the social media and he'll keep you up to date with what's going on. Good night.